You're listening to Artsman with Christian and Hamish, and we're speaking to the very special guest, Phil Cogan. How are you doing, Phil?
Excellent, thank you. I'm really enjoying being in Australia right now. It's been a good time.
Yeah, is it a lot different to America?
Well, I'm from New Zealand, so...
Oh, yeah.
But you've also been to America, I'm sure, so yeah.
I have been to America. My wife is from Australia. It's like, her family's in Sydney, and I get over to Australia quite a bit, so big fan, and always love getting here. Haven't been to Melbourne for a while. The last time I was here was for the Grand Prix back in 2006. So it's been a good 10 years to be back to Melbourne, but really enjoying it.
Lovely. Do you have a favourite place in New Zealand?
Favourite place in New Zealand has to be where I'm from, which is the South Island and Christchurch in particular. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Queenstown, the adventure capital of the world. Love going there.
Do you want to give the listeners a rundown of what Lee Ride is?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that the first English-speaking team and the first Australian team, Ride in the Tour de France, was in 1928. It was three Australians and one New Zealander. And I found this book about a New Zealander, Harry Watson, who was part of that team, and realized that nobody knew who he was and nobody knew that they had gone over to take on this race. And so I decided to make a documentary about it, and it's playing tonight at the Acme in Melbourne, and it's been on a run now since late January and will continue for a while and then hopefully go around Australia. But I'm just on the ground here for 48 hours sharing this film with as many people as I possibly can. It's a great underdog story about an extraordinary team who went to the other side of the world to take on the best riders in the world.
Wonderful. Yeah, I got the chance to see the film a few weeks back, and it was incredible, I gotta say.
Oh, thank you for watching it.
Oh yeah, it was just fantastic. And you mentioned about the underdogs thing. I was wondering, because you have kind of almost a fascination about the underdog kind of story and kind of your work on The Amazing Race, kind of getting people out to get active and kind of move around the world and travel. And I was wondering, do you have something that spiked your fascination with the idea of underdogs in them?
Well, I always feel like, particularly, you know, coming from New Zealand, it's a really small country tucked away so far away from the rest of the world. And I feel that New Zealanders and Australians tend to punch above their weight because they reach out to the rest of the world. And we are underdogs in the sense that we come from smaller population base as opposed to, say, the big European population or U.S. population. So we have extraordinary, as people, we have extraordinary guts and determination, and we just tend to rock up and give it a go. And for small countries, we do punch way above our weight, and I've just always found that really fascinating, that drive of somebody like Edmund Hillary to be the first person to stand on top of Mount Everest, and people that do extraordinary things. And so Hubert Opperman is such an iconic sports person from Australia. The drive and the will that man had, to me, is just so fascinating. The audacity that he had to go to the other side of the world and to line up against the best riders in the world. It says a lot about the Australian and, of course, the New Zealand culture of just digging in and giving it a go.
Would you say you kind of relate an underdog story to your own journey through life, like starting from New Zealand and working your way up to where you are now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've always felt like an underdog, and I always feel that I perform better when the expectations are maybe lower about what I'm going to do.
Yeah, for
because,
sure.
Because I think there's something wonderful about exceeding people's expectations and something horrible about people having high expectations and then you don't sort of measure up, or you maybe just measure up with what they expected. So I just love underdog stories. I think our culture is built around it because we lack this, I guess, that mental toughness that we have means that we will jump in and we will just give it a go. And I think it's just a part of our culture. And so, yes, definitely, I feel like I have that inherently just coming from New Zealand.
Yeah, onto the film. What would you say was the hardest part of the recreation of the race? Because just watching it, you kind of notice how, like, as hard as it was, you guys had it fairly easy compared to what they had back then, like what they had to go through and everything. And would you say there's a hardest part of the race that you had to recreate?
Well, yes, yeah, so you're absolutely right. It was a lot harder for them than it was for us. First of all, we were on sealed roads. They were on unsealed roads. We rode old heavy steel bikes like them. So that was the same. We had no flats going around France. They had up to 12 a day. we had better nutrition. They had very poor nutrition.
Bad wine.
They did have wine, yes, and we did too. But they were also half our age, so from a physical standpoint, they were in much better shape and a lot stronger than us. And they were racing, and we were not racing. We were just trying to get through it, and we were also shooting a film. The hardest part of the whole thing has really just been finishing it, to be honest with you. We did the ride, and we stuck to their schedule, riding roughly 250 kilometers a day average for 22 days. We stuck to that schedule, and it was all over in 26 days. The making of the film has taken 5 years. So the hard part has been just pulling it all together and getting all the pieces together and getting it completed.
And you did mention before that, you're in Melbourne for 48 hours, and you're doing Q&A screenings as well at Acme, and I believe the first of those was last night?
Yeah, my first Q&A at Acme was last night. I'm going to be there again tonight at 6:20, and then there's another screening at 9.
Excellent.
And then I'm on a plane out of here again tomorrow. But if people can't make it tonight, it's going to continue to play at the Acme, and then it'll be shared around the country as well. Yeah, just really great last night. I did a Q&A and got to meet locals. And Sir Hubert Opperman's granddaughter turned up last night.
Oh, man.
And that made me a little nervous because I wanted to make sure that she approved of how we paid tribute to her grandfather, who was such an extraordinary man. And thankfully, she was very happy and was taking the news back to her family that we had done well by Sir Hubert Opperman. So I felt relieved.
Sure. And what was it like as a director to get the chance to go to these Q&A screenings and to be asked questions and see, firsthand the audience reaction to the film that you've made been working on for 5 years?
Well, it's very nerve-wracking when you put yourself out there like that and you try something new and different. We tried a very different approach. You know, the conventional documentary approach is to tell the story from the outside and take all the archival footage and you do interviews with people and you take more of a Ken Burns approach. We took the risk of not only telling the 1928 story, but juxtaposing it with us in 2013. So you have these parallel stories. We're on the same roads, but separated by 85 years or whatever the exact years are. And retracing every mile and cutting back and forth and sharing stories. So we're on the same racetrack, but we're separated by all these years. And the reason that I did jump in and do this is I really wanted, without being able to talk to all the subjects who are all gone now and we've lost them, was to give the audience some sense of the hardship of what that race course was like.
Bit of an odd question here, but during my viewing of the Lee Ride, a lot of the shots in it were kind of very dramatic and almost like taken from shows like The Amazing Race and almost movies. Like a particular one I liked was of you looking into the distance as though like there was a big storm coming or something. And I'm just wondering if, what's it like kind of transitioning from reality television to documentary? Is it hard? Is it different? Do you have a preference almost?
Well, I started in television the end of 1985. My first job was working on as a film camera assistant on news and dramas and documentaries and variety of different types of programming. And then over the years, I've worked on a lot of stuff for National Geographic and Discovery. This is way before Amazing Race. So it really is a culmination of years of different types of television experience. But you're absolutely right. You know, working with a beautiful 4K camera and beautiful Ingenieur lenses and shooting the equivalent of Super 35 millimeter to capture, amazing technology to be able to capture the grandeur and those beautiful aerials that we shot in France. It's definitely got a very cinematic feel, much more than a lot of other programs I've worked on where you're shooting handheld and running around, following people or whatever. So it's really just a culmination of years of my experience, more than 30 years.
Okay, cool. Sticking to The Amazing Race for a second, I actually have discovered you personally through Rooster Teeth. And through the season 28 of The Amazing Race, we got Bernie and Ashley to be on that kind of internet season. And I was wondering what it was like kind of transitioning there to working in an internet element and getting internet kind of celebrities on and then appearing on their kind of content and stuff.
It was just to try something different and I guess just, reconnect with a different viewer who maybe access entertainment and material online and to try reaching out to that audience and sharing what we do in a linear way on network television. Mm-hmm. And just to fresh perspective, I guess. And, you know, after 28 seasons at that time, it's just about, you know, keeping it fresh. I actually think I have to go inside.
Okay.
Because I've got to do another interview. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me and taking the time to watch the film.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you so much.
It means a lot. Yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you back on the race.
Wonderful.
See you, Phil. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.